All right. Thank you, church, for letting me come and be with you.
Amen.
I think it's been 5 years, I believe. And I don't know how long it's been since I've seen Brother Allen, but he told me I grew old. He's always got something to say. I didn't say good to say. I said to say. Amen. No, I love him. God bless him. God bless y'all. Appreciate you. Thank you for the room. Fellowship. Let's look at Ruth tonight. Let's see what happens. I told your pastor, whom I hold in high regard, that I was going to try to bless you tonight with the sermon. I have a tendency of ruining it. I do. There's a flaw here. There's a wire burnt, or two wires are put together that don't go together. There's something wrong here. But I can take a wonderful sermon and I can absolutely ruin it. But I pray I won't do that tonight. I'd love for you to get a hold of something that will be a blessing to you. The music, all the music, including the congregational, has really affirmed in my heart that this is the right direction, although I didn't have anything else to go to. This is where I was going to go. Yeah, that's, you know how that is. This is it. I mean, if it ain't no good, it's all you get. It's it, all right? Now, we know the story, I hope we do, of Ruth, and we understand how that the family of Elimelech went to Moab. While there, the daddy and the two boys died. And it left the widow, Naomi, with the two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, which is not to be confused with Oprah. Although they're about the same, but I'm not going to deal with that. Moabites. All right, moving on. And if that offends you, hang tight. I'm sure I'll hit something else. But they was without any men in their life. And Naomi heard that things had improved back at Bethlehem. We all understand that. She's going to head back. She told her daughter-in-laws for them to go back home. We know that Orpah did. She returned. It specifically says back to her gods. But Ruth would not. I mean, she would not. And Naomi tried to convince her to go back. Ruth would not. And Ruth, she vowed to make Naomi's people her people, to make Naomi's God her God. She did just that. We all understand that. And we know that when they came back, that Naomi instructed Ruth to go glean in the field of Boaz. And she said, in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, and it describes him as a mighty man of wealth. And I'll say something about that in a moment. And how that Ruth went to glean. We understand about the gleaning, how that she, the Bible does say her hap was, rather than she was sent to, her hap was to land on there. It's like it's a coincidence or a happenstance. We understand God's hand was involved.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Y'all do know Ruth becomes the grandmother of David. One of the grandmothers of David and Jesse and David. And God's hand is in all of this. And then Boaz sees her and he instructs the reapers to let fall handfuls of purpose. She comes back telling her mother Naomi about all of this. And it progresses through chapter 2 and chapter 3. And Naomi in chapter 3 convinces Ruth to forsake her garb of mourning and to go and to present herself to Boaz and to basically ask him to redeem them. If I were to summarize that, and I'm not going to get into all of it because you got to go back into the Old Testament and grab the law of redemption, and you got to understand how that a kinsman had the authority and the biblical right to marry the widow of a brother if the brother had died. And he could thereby bring up children and let those children inherit his dead brother's land and inheritance. And so that's basically what she's asking him to do, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But in chapter 3, Boaz agrees to do it. And he tells her, he says, I'm going to do it. But he tells her, he says, there is a kinsman that's nearer than I am. So I've got to find out if he's going to do it. If he's not going to redeem you, then I will. And so he sends her home. Naomi tells her, said, you just let him handle it now. So you get into chapter 4, and in chapter 4 you have Boaz, and he is now addressing the near kinsman. Now, I want the church to understand, when I refer to the near kinsman, I'm referring to the man that is not named, but he is the one that's closer kin and has the first opportunity to redeem the land of Naomi and Ruth. And so Boaz is going to deal with him. In verse 1, he goes to the gate. I love the way that Boaz just tells everybody what to do. In verse 1, he sat himself down. He told the kinsman, he said, hold such a one, turn aside, sit down here. He took 10 men of the elders and said, sit ye down here. They sat down. It's like everybody says, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Now, when you get into this story, before I read any further, I want you to understand there's some wonderful typology. You have Naomi. She's a picture of the nation of Israel who goes away from God and ends up destitute. You have Ruth. She is a Gentile bride. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You have Boaz, who is a kinsman redeemer. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And Boaz is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work he has done, the redemptive work that he has done in this present dispensation. Jesus Christ is my kinsman redeemer. I am redeemed because of the work of Jesus Christ. Can y'all say amen to that? All right. And you look at the near kinsman, which is the one before him. That guy is a picture of the law, and we'll look at that. And so in verse number 3, the Bible says, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, south a parcel of land, which is our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise these, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman, and that is, by the way, the near kinsman. What I just said is not in my Bible. I'm saying it. I have to do that because some people say, what kind of Bible is he reading it? No, it's King James. You understand it, right? Amen. But anyway, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. And it's very important that y'all pay attention to what this near kinsman said. He said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. I want to preach on, well, who can? He said, I cannot redeem it, and I'm going to preach on who can. Now, first, do we need to be redeemed? Why would we need to be redeemed? The answer is because we're fallen. We are fallen. Because Adam and Eve fell in the garden, introduced sin into humanity, and every man has been born with that fallen nature, that sin nature of Adam. Amen. Everybody in here is dying. Y'all do know that, don't you? Do you know why you're dying? Because the wages of sin is death. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they began to die. They began to age. And death has been passed upon every man because man has followed and inherited the sin nature of fallen Adam and Eve. Y'all understand that? And so because of that, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight, I am not going to say one good thing about any of us. Amen. So don't look for it. I'm not going to bolster you. I'm not going to give you an ego boost. You don't need that. You get enough of that every day of your life. Everything you hear in this world is to bolster humanity, make you feel good about yourself. I'm here tonight to tell you we are a fallen race. If we got what we deserved, every one of us would go to hell and burn in hell for our sins. Amen. We are a fallen race. Not only are we a fallen race, there's nothing that we can do about our condition ourselves because we are a fallen race. As far as mankind and God is concerned, we are at enmity with God. God is an enemy or angry at mankind because we have, are y'all hearing? We have transgressed God's law. And if you ever break one law, you've broke the law forever. Concerning the law, there's no do-over. There's no hope. There's no help for fallen mankind. The only thing that can be done is somebody has got to pay the redemptive price for our sin. We can pay it ourselves by dying and going to hell and spend eternity in hell, or somebody that's able can come and pay that price for us. Amen. So do we understand tonight we need to be redeemed? If you've never been saved, you are lost. You need to be redeemed. Well, who can do it? Who can do it? Well, if you look at this, first of all, here's my point. He must be related. In the passage, being a kinsman was not determined by wealth. We understand that Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. Therefore, even if there is in Bethlehem a man that held all the money of the city, he was not qualified nor allowed to redeem the land owned by Naomi. And when we consider the wealth of our Savior, he is the Word of God, and as such, he has the wealth of the universe at his disposal. Y'all know that, right? You say, I own some land. Well, really, he owns it. And you say, who says? The Bible. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. And at any moment, at any time, he can claim it. It's all he is. And so when it comes to wealth, the Lord Jesus has all of the wealth of the universe at his disposal. But y'all catch this. That is not significant in the fact that it takes something else besides that to redeem the lost. The fact that the Son of God has access to all the wealth of the universe is not sufficient to redeem my lost soul or your lost soul. What about that? If it was, he'd have never had to go to Calvary and die at Calvary. Amen. Being a kinsman is not determined by wisdom. Therefore, if the wisest man in Bethlehem, who held all the wisdom of all the elders in the city, had told Naomi, I've got the answer to your problem, she had said, no, you are neither qualified nor able by your wisdom alone to redeem me. It's going to take a kinsman to redeem me, not just a wise man. When it comes to our Savior, there's no doubt that he's got all the wisdom that there is. The Bible calls him the very wisdom of God himself. And yet wisdom was not sufficient to redeem lost mankind. Brother Tim, what does it take? Being a kinsman is determined by birth. This means the one doing the redeeming had to be connected to the one being redeemed by a physical birth of the body that was directly connected to the one in need. In other words, the one doing the redeeming had to be born into the same family as the one that needed to be redeemed. Y'all following me so far? It's all right if you want to run ahead. Boaz was such a kinsman, related by his birth to Naomi. When we consider our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, we understand by this why it was necessary for him to be born in the body of a man. He had a body that was made of a woman. How do you know that? Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He had a body that was made of a woman. He was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:6. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Then it gets better. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He was a partaker of flesh and blood. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Then he had the likeness of sinful flesh, Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Are y'all hearing this? Anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you that the very Son of God, our kinsman redeemer, had to be born as a man in order for him to be able to be my redeemer. He had to have a kinship with you and I. Therefore, the part of being a kinsman was connected to the birth of a body. I think we miss this a lot. He had a body. Watch this. Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So you listen, he was God manifest in the flesh, yes. But guess what also? He got hungry. He got tired. You know why? Because he put on that mortal frame like you and I. Why would he have to do that? How are you going to kill a God? You can't kill a God. Amen. And so he put on a mortal frame. He became kin to me. Do you know why that he is touched with the infirmities? Because he knows my infirmities. Because he experienced my infirmities. The angels came and ministered to him due to the weakness of the body. Amen and amen. So we understand that he had to be related. Secondly, in order for him to be the Redeemer, he must have the resource. The one doing the redeeming has got to be better off than the one needing redemption. Now, in the first point, we see that he has he is a partaker of flesh and blood, as I am a partaker of flesh and blood. In the first point, we see that he bore infirmities of the flesh as I bear the infirmities of the flesh. And many would look at him, and Isaiah said there's no comeliness that you would desire him. You might look at him and say, that's just a man. That's just a man. Thank God. That ain't just a man. See, the one doing the redeeming cannot be like the one that needs to be redeemed. Amen. He's got to have a resource that the one needing redemption does not have. Amen. Boaz had a resource that Naomi did not have. Amen. Are y'all following this? Yeah. So Boaz, according to verse 1 of chapter 2, was a mighty man of wealth. Naomi was destitute. Therefore, even if Boaz was the kinsman by birth, he could not redeem her if he was as destitute as she was. Y'all understand that? He had to have a resource that she did. I could take a running fit thinking about how Jesus Christ has a resource. I ain't there yet. Anyway, Boaz, being the kinsman, had a resource that Naomi did not have. Now, in the case of the Lord Jesus, even though he bore the body of a man with all its weaknesses, however, carried within that body is the means to redeem the lost. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Here the blood of Christ is stated as precious. Why is the blood of Christ considered to be precious? It's precious because of its rarity. You can't find it nowhere but there. That's the only source there is for the redemption of all mankind. The blood of Christ is like no other blood that has ever been or that ever will be. It's the rarest, most precious commodity mankind has. Amen? I'm tired and I ain't done. All right, let's see. All right. The blood of Christ is the precious resource. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved. Oh, and by the way, that's what he would have. Can't hear y'all. That's what he would have. Now, he made us free moral agents. And there's going to be people die lost without God. But he would not have it so. If you're here tonight and you're lost, he wants to save you. And if you'll trust him, he will. Amen. Okay. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I saw he's making a payment there. At ransom. He's making a payment. Y'all getting that? The precious blood of Christ then is such blood, and this is it. In the body of a man, with all the frailty and the infirmities of humanity, is a blood that has never had sin touch it. If it had, it'd be the same as mine. Amen. And it takes blood to get me redeemed. It's going to take some blood. Amen. And it can't take mine because mine ain't no good. And it can't take yours because yours ain't no good. What we need is we need someone that's kin to us, but that's got something that we don't got. We need somebody that's related to us, but that one's got to have something that we don't got. And the only thing that God will accept is righteousness. Y'all know what righteousness is? Righteousness is being right according to God. God looks at it and says, ah, that's right. If something is right according to God, it is righteous. There's only been one that is righteous. There's only been one in himself that's righteous, and that's the very Lamb of God that died, who knew no sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be the sons of God. Are y'all hearing me? I'm here to tell you, he has a resource. He has the resource that is necessary to redeem. And we need redemption. So the Pope is out. Mary, out. Amen. Are y'all getting that? Amen. Belonging to the church, out. No, there's a man that you are going to have to meet if you're going to get redeemed. Amen. Because he's the only one that's got the resource that's needed to buy your lost soul, amen, and redeem you before God. Are we all right? Yes, amen. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, I didn't do this right a while ago, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is a significant doctrine. Let me give y'all some significant doctrines Here's a significant doctrine. Jesus never sinned. Everybody in the building's got to be solid on it. You got to be solid on it. He never sinned. Well, brother, he might have once. If he did, you're lost. You got no hope. You're going to go to hell. If he sinned, you're lost. My salvation is dependent on the fact that he is the righteous Son of God, the sinless, holy Son of God, who took on the body of this kind of a thing. He took this on, and with this on him, wrapped around that precious, sinless resource, he never one time sinned. He didn't slip. He didn't make a mistake. He never sinned. He never, amen, got to be solid on. All the lies that Hollywood has put out there about Jesus having some relationship with some woman or about how Judas was mistreated, it's a lie right out of the pit of hell. Jesus never sinned, and Judas was a traitor. Can you say amen? Jesus never sinned. It is a significant doctrine that we cannot fail on. Amen. He never did. All right. So we understand it's necessary that he never sinned. Also, it was necessary for the body of Christ, which is directly connected to fallen mankind, to be broken in order for the resource that was within to come out. And he carried that resource until it was time for him to shed it. Amen. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, comma, the forgiveness of sins, that's us, comma, according to the riches of his grace. Have y'all ever read the story of Ruth? Boaz just loved her. The riches of his grace. Brother Tim, what can I do to convince him to redeem me? He already wants to redeem you. He came to redeem you. Amen. He loves you. That's the riches of his grace. He must have the resource. Number three, last point. He must be readily given. Now that means willing. In the story, we know the first kinsman was not readily given. This was due to his concern for self. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. And please pay attention. He said, lest I mar mine own inheritance, redeem thou my right to thyself. I cannot redeem it. Not going to elaborate too much on this. Just want to run with it. If you summarize this statement, the near kinsman in the account itself, the near kinsman was more concerned with his own than he was the needs of those needing to be redeemed in the account itself. All right? All right. Due to his concern, he was not readily given, not willing, not interested in redeeming Naomi and Ruth. He was interested in the land, but he was not interested in helping that Moabite woman. You understand that? The near kinsman being a type of the law. That near kinsman said it would mar. Here's a fact. The law will not be marred. The law is righteous. Congregation, are y'all with me? The Ten Commandments are righteous. The law of God is righteous. Amen. And there's no wiggle room. You broke one, you broke them all. You ever transgress once, you are a transgressor. And the law is unforgiving. It is unmovable. And the law will let you go to hell, a transgressor, because you transgressed the law of God. Y'all get it? You just don't go doing that, and it'd be okay. And the law says, I'll not be marred. I'll remain holy. I'll remain righteous. I'll remain right. Evidently, in order for someone to be redeemed, the Redeemer must be willing to be marred. Concerning our Redeemer, was he readily given? He stated in John 12:27, "Now's my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." That's what he said. "Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So he stated that this was the cause for his coming. He stated that he was here to do the will of his Father. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." John 4, he said, "I'm here to finish his work." Later on, he's going to say, "It is finished." In John 4:34, he says, "I'm here to finish something." At Calvary, he said, "I did it. I told y'all what I come to do." And when it was done, he announced it was done. Amen. He stated doing that will of God concerned the lost. Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." He stated that he was laying down his life willingly. Now, y'all pay attention now. The near kinsman said, "I will not mar mine inheritance." Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me." And I say amen. I love to go through the Bible and see all the accounts of where they tried to lay their hands on him, and they couldn't lay their hands on him until he let him. I love when they come to arrest him and they come to seek Jesus. He said, "I am he," and they fell down. I love that. No man took his life. Can y'all say amen real loud? He gave his life. Nobody could have laid a finger on him without him letting them lay a finger on him. He said, "I lay it down of myself." We know that the laying down of his life marred him. And we can say, yes, Calvary. But what about this? Isaiah 52:14. "His visage was so marred." The near kinsman said, "I ain't marring mine inheritance." Jesus said, "Mar me." There's some people that can't pay their sin debt. I've got the resource. If you'll mar the shell, the resource will flow and man can be redeemed. Can y'all say amen to that? And so Isaiah said his visage was so marred. And we know that the will of the Father is for the lost to be saved. John 3:17. "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That was God's will. 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Do y'all understand? Do y'all understand that scripturally I have proven to you that we need to be redeemed? I've proven to you that in order for man to be redeemed, it must be done by one that is a near kinsman, or one that is a kinsman, amen. So it must be somebody that has the right resource to redeem mankind, and somebody that's readily given. And I've shown you scripturally that Jesus Christ, not only is he one that would fit, he's the only one that will fit. That there is, can I hear an amen, none other name under heaven given among men, none other, who can redeem? Jesus can. And as far as Tim Shirley is concerned, Jesus has. And what y'all looking at is an unfinished product. And I'm done. I'm not going to go further. But I'm not completely redeemed. Y'all see this? He going to fix it. I know I look good now, but you just wait. Amen. You just wait. If the trump happens tonight, if the trump happens while I'm standing up here, y'all can have my boots. And I like my boots. But I'm gonna get something so much better. Amen. And he's already paid the redemptive price, and I've accepted that price for myself, and I'm yet to have it all given to me. One day I will. Because I met someone who is near kin. I had the resource applied for the forgiveness of my sins. And I learned that he was readily willing to redeem me. Amen and amen. Tell you what, let's do. Let's just have a verse of a song. Everybody stand to your feet. Just real quick, one verse of a song. If nobody moves, I'll turn it over to Brother Andrew or Brother Ryman, whichever one you want to do. Whoever's going to come. Paul, do you want to, or do we have a piano player or something? Oh, we got, what we got? Y'all come on. Bow your head, please. Lord, if I ain't done anything else, I hope I've honored you. If I ain't done nothing else, if I magnified you, Lord Jesus, if I glorified you tonight, then that's enough. And I hope I did that. And I hope that you would be pleased with this. And if there is somebody, by chance, somebody in here, perhaps like Ruth, just happened to land on the right field. Maybe somebody just happened to land in the right building tonight. I don't know. But if there is somebody here that is not saved, they need to be redeemed. Would you help them come and trust on that finished work of Calvary and the one that finished it? In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Go ahead, sing whatever you're going to do.